before a new drug can come on the market, it has to jump through a few hoops, including clinical trials. These are designed to show whether the drug actually works, what dosage you need, and importantly, whether it causes any bad side effects or adverse reactions. Treatments that aren't drugs also go through trials, but the thing is, we're not that consistent in how we report adverse reactions or the murkier category of adverse events where something happens to a trial participant but it isn't clear if it's caused by the treatment or not. The inconsistencies in adverse event reporting have implications for how we weigh the benefits and harms of treatments, as a recent article in the Medical Journal of Australia states. The lead author of the article is Christina Abdel-Shahid. Welcome, Christina.
Thank you, Tegan.
So what currently guides adverse event reporting in trials in Australia?
So in Australia and around the world, there are certain guidelines that people running clinical trials must follow when they're reporting on the findings from their research. And one of those requirements is to report on the harms. And what we've noticed is that in the vast majority of trials involving non-drug interventions in particular, there are major gaps with regards to reporting of harms. And even in some trials that involve potentially dangerous medicines such as opioid analgesics, there are cases where no harms are reported in those clinical trials as well.
So that's really interesting, because my reading had been that some things were overestimating harms, like especially when it was drugs, and some were underestimating. But what you're saying is it's even messier than that.
It is even messier than that. However, there are scenarios where there could be overestimation of harms when, for example, a clinical trial reports on frequency of harms without giving an indication when those harms were reported by the individual participant. So we know, for example, with some drugs that they enter the system, enter the body, and then they exit the body. And we're really interested to know what harms took place when the drug was in the body. We're not so, although it's useful information, we're not going to attribute necessarily the cause of harms that took place after the drug has well and truly left the body to the specific drug. So in that respect, when trials report on all adverse events without giving the reader an indication when those adverse events took place, and we're finding that that's the case across the board, then it's really hard to make an assessment about whether that adverse event wasn't in fact related to the drug or not.
And of course this has big implications downstream, because these are the sorts of things that you take into account if you're choosing whether to take a medication or to take a treatment, or if your clinician is giving you advice on whether something's a good idea or not.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, clinical trials are essential basically to help inform and guide clinicians and patients about, you know, whether or not to use an intervention. But I think the important thing to realise with clinical trials is that they're often not designed or set up to assess or determine important differences in harms. So what we see happening in clinical trials are observations of the things that we might expect, but it's also very important that once a drug has hit the market or whatever the intervention might be, that we continue those pharmacovigilance studies and see what's happening for the larger population, because clinical trials will focus their attention on a particular population. They have specific inclusion and exclusion criteria, whereas once you start, you know, testing a treatment or using a treatment in a much wider population, then we begin to see much clearer pictures of the harms that are expected from a particular drug or device or anything else.
It's fresh in our memory, having watched the vaccine rollout for COVID. So what are your recommendations then? What needs to change?
In general, what we noticed from our evaluation was that a lot of clinical trials reporting on non-drug interventions, things like psychological and behavioural trials, even some surgical trials, were not reporting on harms at all. Even though, you know, the guidelines for trials mandate reporting of harms regardless what the intervention is that's being tested. So the first step is to encourage a universal approach towards reporting of harms, so that it's clear to everyone carrying out these trials and reporting on the trials that harms is an essential part of the reporting process. Mm. There also needs to be some level of shared responsibility in the scientific community. So editors, before they go on to publish these papers, should check that there is a balanced reporting of information in with respect to both the benefits and the harms. What we see is that there's always going to be information about whether or not an intervention was effective, but there's sometimes gaps with regards to the harms profile of that intervention. So it is also the responsibility of journal editors more broadly to ensure that that information reaches the public and is being published.
Mm. Christina, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Tegan.
Dr. Christina Abdel-Shahid is a Senior Academic Fellow in the School of Public Health at the University of Sydney.
Think bigger about the world we live in. Ask your smart speaker to play ABC RN.